Praise the Lord. We must learn to live in the Spirit. We are spirit beings who have souls, who live in bodies. When we die, our spirit and our soul is separated from the body. That's just who we are. When we're born again, after we're born again, we never lose connection with God. And so when the body dies, the spirit connects even more closely to Him than before. When our body dies, our minds, our wills, our emotions, and other aspects of our soul will continue to exist. Just because our brain is dead, and I know people who seem brain dead right now while they walk around, but while even though our brain dies, our soul will not die because it's connected to our spirit. Because we're spirit beings, we have the opportunity to live in the Spirit. Live in the Holy Spirit right now. We don't have to wait for heaven to commune with Him. We don't have to wait for heaven to fellowship with Him. We ought to be fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit right now. We ought to be spending time with Him right now, even though with Him it's not necessarily time. But to us, it is translated as time. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit, by praying in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit and becoming spiritually minded, becoming aware of the spiritual realm. Most Christians aren't even aware of a spiritual realm. They understand things in theory, but what we don't understand a lot of times is that around us is a whole spiritual realm that we are a part of if we choose to enter that realm. The difference between us and all those other spirits is we do have physical bodies. And sometimes that seems like it limits us, but that makes us very peculiar. And what makes us the children of God and citizens of this planet is the fact we have physical bodies that our spirits dwell in. Here's what the Bible says. We've read this many times over the week. Galatians 5, verse 16. I'll just read it to you. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that even mean? You know, sometimes at church, and when you're raised in church and stuff, you hear phrases like walk in the Spirit, and we assume we know what it means, but what does that mean? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What is it even talking about? Maybe, I don't think that's exactly what it's saying, but that's close, yes. Walk in the Spirit, being led. But let's examine it for a minute. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I know all of us in this room would like to not fulfill the lust of the flesh, right? Here, this is a real key for us. We need to recognize this. The Spirit cannot lead us if we're walking in the flesh. The flesh cannot lead us if we're walking in the Spirit. So we've got to figure out how can we do that. The word walk is an interesting word in the Greek. It's a compound word. The two Greek words are peripateo. The whole word is peripateo, peri and pateo. The word peri in the Greek, it means around. It suggests something that goes in a circle, something that is encircling. Pateo means to walk, to trample. It has to do with moving your feet, taking action somewhere. It's translated walk, to step, to stride, to tread, to trample. Okay? So when the two words come together, here's what it literally means. To habitually walk around in one general vicinity. To habitually stay in one place. To walk around in one area. Okay? The word actually could have been translated live here because if you stay in one place all the time, you say, I live there. There are people, you say, where do you live? And they go, well, I stay over at such and such a place. Well, I never say it that way. I live at this address. I live there. Why? Because that's where I habitually reside. That's where I stay. That's where I am all the time. I mean, I just get to do that. To walk in the Spirit then means to live in the Spirit. To habitually be in the place of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. More than just a casual once a week encounter with Him, it's where I go all the time. It's my habitual place. This suggests a person who has walked in one region for so long a time that it now becomes his environment, his place of daily activity, the sphere that encircles his existence. To walk in the Spirit, that's where I live. That's where I stay. That becomes my environment. It indicates a person has walked a path so frequently over a long period of time, has walked it over and over and over, that now he could walk it blindfolded because he's so familiar with that area. Isn't it something? When the Holy Spirit moves in a church service, it's the unusual thing rather than the normal. We ought to be familiar with Him. Not so familiar that we disdain Him, but familiar enough to honor Him and know that's where I live. When He speaks to us, when we're in His presence and we're speaking, it's like, oh, that's where I'm supposed to be. Oh, yes. I recognize that. That's what's supposed to happen to me. I mean, it's the place that, I mean, we just function in that place because that's where we're at home. When we live in the Spirit becomes our normal. Daily sphere. It's the place where we function. If we live there, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. How do you overcome the flesh? Take time in the Spirit. Become what we've been talking about, spiritually minded. If I become spiritually minded, now I can hear the voice of God. This word also means to stroll. To stroll. If you ever take a stroll, it's different than taking the power walk. Sometimes in the evening, Tammy says, you want to go for a walk? And I always say, it depends. We're taking your walk or mine? Mine is a stroll. Hers is a power walk. Tammy is frequently on a mission. No matter what we're doing, she is going for it. I want to take a stroll because I enjoy my neighborhood. I enjoy being out sometimes. And so I want to take a stroll. This word means to stroll. It could have been translated, if you stroll in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. To stroll. A stroll is what? It's a leisurely walk. You're not in a hurry. It's leisurely. When you stroll, you're not anxious. You're not worried. You are not frustrated. You're not afraid when you just stroll. Okay? You're not fighting to do something or go somewhere. Unfortunately, in Christianity, many of us don't stroll very often. We're in a hurry to get where God told us to be, in a hurry to do something for Him that He may or may not have told us to do in the first place. We get in a hurry. Lord?
That's one of the things God said to me when we were worshiping. He said, slow down.
Slow down. And breathe. That's good. Slow down and breathe. Yeah. And that, what happens is we grit our teeth. We got to find God. I even see that in people worship. It's like, And they squinch up their face and they get all tense. To walk in the Spirit is to stroll in the Spirit. When you stroll, you're relaxed. You're restful. You're unhurried. You're peaceful. You're calm. Remember last week we talked about when the Spirit leads us, He leads us in peace? And yet in our society, because we're trained that everything's got to be now, I've got to do it now. I think about when God came to see Abraham with those two angels, and Abraham said to the Lord, he said, "What? Let me feed you before you leave." So they ran down to McDonald's. They got them some hamburgers. No. What'd they do? They had to kill the cow. They had to butcher it. Then they had to cook it while Sarah had to knead the flour, make the bread. This wasn't an instant thing. This was an hours-long process. Except what we want with God is we want him to come, let's get this over with so I can get on with the stuff I got to do. That's not walking in the Spirit. Okay, God, I got 1 hour. Ready, go. Church starts, ready, go. It's like we're on this thing where we got to get it done. We're supposed to stroll in the Spirit. This is what I know. When we walk in the Spirit, the stress and anxieties of life are removed so that we can stroll in this realm of continual rest, peace, calmness, knowing that He is leading us to the place of His plan. And that no matter what comes my way, He will take care of me. Not burying my head in the sand, ignoring the circumstances, but as I walk with Him, He will guide me. He will say, turn right, turn left, do this, go there. He will lead me. But if I'm stressed out all the time, there is no peace there. It's interesting. In that same chapter in verse 19, it talks about the works of the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. We stroll in the Spirit. The flesh is work. Works of the flesh. There are lots of them that list in that chapter, but the works of the flesh, it eventually is hard work and produces a very negative wage. Walking in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A lust, of course, is a longing, a craving, an excitement for something that we don't necessarily need to have. It's having a fervent passion. It's having an obsession for something. It's talking about a strong desire. When it talks about the flesh in this case is talking about sinful impulses, carnal cravings. When we stroll in the Spirit, we don't give in to that. It says we won't fulfill the lust. The word fulfill is the Greek word telao, which means to complete or finish something. It says when we walk in the Spirit, the flesh won't reach its goal. The flesh won't come to an end. When we walk in the Spirit, what we literally do is pull the plug on the flesh so that it has no power to operate the way it wants to operate. And we are supposed to habitually live in that place. There should not be a day that we don't spend some time with the Holy Spirit. Life is busy, I know. But you know what? That's why God let somebody invent the alarm clock so we could get up and take care of things that are most important in life. Taking time in the Spirit. When we live there, we'll hear, we'll know what to do. When we live in the realm of the flesh, we'll be carnally minded. The devil will talk to us. He'll tell us everything and we'll believe what he has to say because we've not spent time in the realm of the Spirit. We can't be fooled by the world system. I mean, they'll say stuff that seems to make sense, seems to, all right, yeah, that's the way to do it. But there's a way that seems right, and the end thereof are the ways of death. We have to walk, spend time with him. Okay, what do you have to say? I tell you, stuff happens all the time, and you hear ridiculous things. And if you listen to them long enough, they begin to make sense. Which is what the enemy knows, so he preaches it loud. No matter how ridiculous it is, he says it loud and often so that eventually you believe what he's telling you. That's why Goliath came out every day, twice a day, for over a month and a half and yelled at those people until they believed that they had to appoint somebody to fight just him. He made them believe, this is your choice. Y'all can't all attack all of us. It's me against one of y'all. That's how it has to work. And they eventually believed it. We must walk in the Spirit. Heard about a guy who walked into a bar. This is obviously not very spiritual. He was kind of a mangy looking guy. He walks into a bar and the bartender looks at him and says, I can tell by looking at you, you don't have any money. You might as well just get on out of here because I'm not giving you a free drink. And the guy said, you're right, I have no money, but what if I provide for you something that's so amazing, something you've never seen before? And if I can do that, if I can do that, will you give me a free drink? He said, well, yes, as long as it's not immoral or indecent. He said, okay. So the guy reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a hamster. The hamster takes off across the bar, runs down the bar, runs across the room, jumps up on the piano, and begins to play Gershwin. I mean, the hamster is just playing the piano, and the bartender is absolutely amazed. He says, wow, you're right. I've never seen anything like that. Here's your free drink. Well, the guy drinks it down, and he says, how about another one? And the bartender says, you know what? Unless you come up with something else that's magical or I've never seen before, that's all you're going to get. And the guy says, all right. Reaches in another pocket, pulls out a frog. The frog stands on the bar and just begins to sing. I mean, it's just singing with the most beautiful voice. He's singing, and the bartender is totally amazed. And this guy runs across, at the end of the bar, runs across and says, I'll give you $300 for that frog. And the guy says, done. So the guy gives him $300, takes the frog, and runs out. And the bartender looks at him and said, you are crazy. You just sold that guy a singing frog for only $300? And the guy says, no. I'm not as crazy as you think. The hamster is also a ventriloquist. If you get caught up in the world, you'll believe stupid things like that. You'll believe that all, and everybody's looking for something that is absolutely mind-blowing. We need to just hear God. The voice of God is not always going to be sensational. In fact, it very rarely will be. The voice of God is quiet, and He leads us. He leads us in a path that most people are not going in, according to Jesus. He leads us in a path, and it's a quiet leading. The world doesn't understand. The world will question it, but we walk in this path. And if we will hear, if we will obey, we will simply come to the right place at the right time. Even though we might not have even known that's what we were looking for, we'll wind up where we're supposed to be. It doesn't matter what comes in the world. If we will follow Him, we will be in the right place at the right time. Whatever I'm looking for, it's what He has planned for me. We've spent too much time saying, I can do whatever I want to do, and which is true, but that's not where happiness is. That's not where peace is. My job in life is to find out what He wants and do that. You know, we tell our kids, oh, you can be whatever you want to be. That simply is not good advice. The advice is, son, daughter, you can be whatever God called you to be. Your job in life is to find out what He wants you to do and do that.
Doesn't the Bible say, I can do all things?
I can do all things. If I'll do what He tells me to do, He provides the ability to do what He says. And that's what we want. We want to be that. Let's read our text. This is what we've been reading every week from John chapter 10, verse 1. John 10, verse 1. We've read this every week for several weeks. Jesus is speaking. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The devil wants to sneak in. He wants to come in the back door, the side door, the window. The Lord will always come in the front. He's not going to try to trick you. But he that entereth in by the door of the sheep is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Then Jesus explains it in verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Then in verse 27, my sheep, which is you and me, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is all a promise. We've been talking about hearing the Lord. He calls. He calls us by name. He calls. We hear, and we follow. We each have the ability to hear Him. If we'll spend time in the Spirit with Him, we'll recognize His voice, and when He calls, we'll know, we'll follow. We are His sheep. If you're born again, this is a promise to you. He's calling. We've said the problem isn't whether or not the Lord is speaking, it's whether or not we're on the frequency to hear what He has to say. We have to listen to Him. He said over and over, Jesus, in the Bible, He said we have to have ears to hear so we can understand the leading of the Spirit. We have to have ears so we can hear. The world cannot hear. They do not have ears to hear. They just don't have those ears. We're not talking about physical ears, we're talking about spiritual ones that must be developed. Spiritual ears refers to the enlightening of the heart. Again, we're not talking about a physical organ, we're talking about our heart. We're talking about that thing that's in our soul or our spirit that comes through an intimate and current relationship with Him. It's enlightened as we spend time with Him. Listen to this verse. This is in John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now he's talking about walking again. He's talking about coming to this place where we live, where we stroll, where we have a daily encounter. He says if we will walk with Him, follow after Him, we will not walk or stumble around in darkness groping to find His will, but we will walk in the light of His revelation, having our hearts enlightened with what He has to say. Okay, that's a promise to us. The problem that many, perhaps most Christians have is they get the Word from God, but they don't follow it. They hear God, they start going, and then they get distracted, get tired, get frustrated. It didn't work out fast enough. The pressure comes from without, and the pressure of the world overtakes the Word that's in their heart. And so they give up on the Word. All right, God, talk to me. And God gives you direction. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you get up and you follow Him today. And tomorrow not as fast. And the next day not as fast anymore. And then all of a sudden, squirrel. And we're off chasing something else. I mean, the flesh. Because most people walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. The pressures of the flesh overcome the leading of the Spirit. Because my flesh wants it this way. And so we give up on what God has said. Listen to this verse. This is in 1 John 2, verse 24. 1 John 2, verse 24. Just listen to this one. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you will continue in the Son and in the Father. Now what did He say? He said, the word you got at the beginning, stay with it. Let it live in you. Let it stay in you. If it stays in you, you'll continue with the Son. You'll continue with the Father. What's He saying? Don't quit. Don't give up on the Word of God. Don't give up on the Word of God. I remember growing up in the Baptist church, we used to sing that song, I Shall Not Be Moved. Anybody remember that song? I looked up the words of this song this week. Here's what it says. I'm just going to read you the... I'm not going to sing it. If you want to sing, just go right ahead. Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Then the chorus is, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Then the next one says this, though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. So often God speaks to us. And yeah, yeah, yeah. And 3 weeks later, we've been moved. Why? Because pressure came from without. Things happened. You know, when God speaks to you and He tells you what to do, where to go, how to do it, all those things, when He tells you, He already knows, like we've already talked about before, He knows what's ahead. And it's not like He said, all right, Randy, go do this. And when I get there, He's going, oh man, I forgot. Let's change it. Instead of going there, just go over there instead. He doesn't change His mind nearly as often as we make Him seem like He does. We need to get this mentality. God, if You speak to me, I will not be moved. He speaks clearly, decisively, distinctly. We are His sheep. We know His voice. We need to quit letting the devil bully us and come and say, oh, you didn't hear God. You didn't hear God. Well, here's how we hear it. Maybe I didn't hear God. Right? Because He comes and whispers and makes it sound like it's us. Isn't it amazing how He can imitate our own voices inside our heads? And He comes and says, oh, that couldn't have been God. Look at this. We need to get in our hearts, I shall not be moved. Think about it. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. We've got to stay with what He said. What did He say? What did God say? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And He said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Wait a minute. Did she hear God?
Yes.
She heard Him. She had an exact word from God. When the devil came to her, she said to him exactly what God said to her. He said, wait, did God say you couldn't eat the trees, all the trees? She said, He said, here's God's word. I can eat of every tree of the garden except that one. And I can't eat of that because in the day I eat of that, I'll die. And then she adds, neither shall you touch it lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, did you really hear from God? He said, you'll not die. God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. When God says it, do you think He means it or not? See, we misunderstand something. God says what He means, and He means what He says. When you read the Bible, God doesn't change His mind. Now, He repented that He made Saul the king, but that's because of Saul, not because of God. When it says repented, it doesn't mean He changed His mind. It means He went, it was a deep, heavy sigh. God is able to say what He means. He's not changing His mind. The devil comes and says, really? Did God really say that to you? Did God tell you that? Are you sure? Now, just think about you and me. The Lord tells us. And we say, I wonder if I'm really supposed to be here. I wonder if, is that what I'm supposed to do? I tell you, the whole time that we have been in Lubbock, for the last 7 years almost, the devil has come over and over to me saying, are you sure? Are you sure that's where you're supposed to be? And if I wasn't sure, I'd have been gone a long time ago. I mean, I don't know. Maybe not. Because if you base things on the circumstances, you're going to be in trouble. But God doesn't lead us by circumstances. We're not like the horse. We're not like the mule. We don't need whips, sticks, kicks, or whatever to get us to change or to turn. He leads us by His Spirit. The Scripture says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will always lead us from within in our spirits. He speaks, the Bible says. He speaks clearly, distinctly, decisively. And I'll tell you something. If He changes His mind, He will speak as clearly as He did when He told you in the first place. If He says, now, that's fulfilled, change this. He told Elijah, He said, go sleep by the brook and I'll feed you there. And He fed him there. And when the brook dried up, He said, okay, this is over. Now go and see that widow in Zarephath, and there's where I'm going to take care of you. But He spoke clearly, distinctly, and decisively. Elijah didn't have to wait by that brook and go, well, I must have missed God here because it dried up. He heard His voice just like you and I can. And here's the difference between you and me and Elijah. He was old covenant, we're new. We have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. If we hear Him, we need to do what He says. We mustn't be led by pressure from without. We can't be led by goosebumps, feelings, anger, depression, circumstances, or anything else. We must be led by the Word and the Spirit. That's our job. Hear Him. Do what He says. See, often the problem isn't that we've not heard from God. It's just we don't stay with it. And when it doesn't work out, we say, well, maybe this wasn't right. Has God said that? Did God tell you to move to Lubbock? I've heard that question, oh, I don't know, probably in the hundreds of times. Are you sure? Are you sure about that? We must be led by God. Eve knew what He said. Did you realize it's possible to hear Him and miss out if you don't stay with what you hear? Maybe we need to start singing that song some. I shall not be moved. Maybe that ought to be the first song we sing after we hear a word from God. I will not be moved. Whatever you say, sir, I will not move until you say move. I'm here until you say go there. I will not be moved. I will do what you say. I will do that. See, Eve, she had a clear word from God. She knew exactly what He said. Even was able to repeat it verbatim to the snake. But what did He do? The Scripture says He beguiled her. He began to whisper in her ear. I don't think this took place over 3 minutes or the 2 minutes it takes to read it or the 1 minute, however many seconds it is. It took some time. My guess is He talked to her for some time, just whispering to her, are you sure? That tree sure looks good. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense, Eve, for you to stay here when you could be over there. Because, you know, it's obvious that's better than here. He couldn't have meant that. He had to have meant something else. The Apostle Paul said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is Christ." God gave her a simple word. Don't eat that tree. She listened to this voice of contradiction, this voice of complication, and the devil, listen, he began to give her every reason in the world to eat from that tree. Why did he want to do that so bad? Here's what he knows. As long as I am in his hand, he can't touch me. But the moment I get out over here, out of his hand, I'm free game. And the devil now has access to my life, access to all that I am. I mean, the devil is doing everything he can this morning to you and me to get us to get out from under the Word of God, get to do something that we want to do rather than under the umbrella of his protection as we do his Word. He's doing everything he can. He knows that as long as you're there, he can't touch you. He offers you what seems like a better deal and what makes more sense to your flesh. That's why we better be spiritually minded. The verse says in 1 John 5:8, I'll just read it to you. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. As long as I'm connected to God, as long as I'm following God. The Amplified says, we know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin, but the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil, and the wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip, or touch him. That's as we follow him. We must not be moved. Must not. Because when we get moved, the devil has access. And that's what he wants. He wants to get to the place where he can touch you. So when he whispers to you, are you sure God said that? And you say, no, I shall not be moved. No matter what comes my way, I shall not be moved. Let me read you a few words again. Though hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you today, Holy Spirit, that you lead us, you guide us. I thank you, Lord, that as we abide in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, the wicked one can't touch us. As we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. As we walk in the Spirit, we hear your word, hear what you say. We walk in the integrity of our hearts. We walk under the umbrella of your hand. And the flesh doesn't get fulfilled. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for these that are here. We pray for those who aren't. We believe that your hand is upon them even this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We honor you. Amen.